There is a man, maybe you have seen him on social media, maybe you have not. His name is Drew Walls. And Drew Walls, call it self-worth, something that I think a lot of people may disagree with, think is corny, but essentially he's not the only one that does it, but Drew Walls videos himself just throughout his day. It's very main character syndrome-esque, right? So he videos himself going to Target. He videos himself not stealing Stanley cups. He videos himself going to Target. He videos himself picking a meal, literally from Panera. Mm-hmm. He videos himself putting oil on his beard.
I assume this is on TikTok?
Right? TikTok, okay. and he also will post it on Twitter. So basically, Drew Walls became a meme, and people would joke and make fun of him. Who is this guy? Who does this guy think he is recording himself? And he would have music, Drake music playing in the background. Okay. Who is this guy? Who is this guy recording himself? Nobody cares. This is corny. Can you imagine seeing this guy in the wild setting up? I mean, it's a lot of cuts.
Sure.
So he's setting up a camera.
Yeah. I
picking something
about that
in Target.
Right.
And then taking off the camera, you know, putting the camera away.
Yes.
Doing it in his car as well. So he's in a parking garage with video. So obviously he sets it up, drives, gets out the car, grabs the camera.
Gets out
then,
of it, yeah.
And then gets back into the car to get out of it. Yeah. So this meme started to grow to where people would say, again, his name is Drew Walls. He had one and it included him playing in his rec basketball league, right? And people found this guy's high school stats of basketball. Oh, and it basically turned into a meme. To where when Jason Tatum wouldn't ball out or when somebody didn't ball out, they would say they would post a Drew Walls video and say, Jason Tatum next season, right? And they would make fun of him that
gotcha.
Way.
Gotcha.
So a couple weeks ago, and there's one where he's watching a basketball game and he's cheering. He's like, let's go. And if you actually watch the screen, a timeout was called. Like nothing was happening.
Okay.
So he's getting completely roasted,
game,
right?
Okay.
So then it turns into a meme to where a couple weeks ago, the NFL reposts or takes a Drew Walls screenshot or something and says, us hyped for the game next week. And it was Drew Walls like cheering, right? His fake cheering that he's doing. So this is last week. I'm thinking, man, I wonder if he got paid for that. Chris Watkins, this man went from being a complete meme to being roasted, to being making fun of, to you know what happened this past weekend? ESPN cashed him out to where he is doing the same thing, and literally at the end, it just says, getting ready for Ravens Texans. He got the ESPN bag from recording himself in Target. And he got so many clicks from people roasting and making fun of him. Now he is a partner with ESPN.
Love that. That's great. I have not seen any of this man's videos, but I sounds great. I mean, if you can make money off of making garbage content and making people upset while doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's I can't knock the hustle. I mean, we're clearly in the wrong business.
I mean, all clicks are good clicks. Can I say something on the air that
I hope so.
That I haven't really said.
I hope so, as long as.
So this was a couple weeks ago.
Segment.
And Nate is going to crack up.
Here. Oh gosh.
This is a couple weeks ago. I wanted to see how it felt.
To what?
I did it.
Stole a bunch of Stanley Cups?
I recorded myself going to Bel Air, the whole thing.
Oh, God. And you never
posted
it. I
wanted to see how it felt.
And it didn't feel great.
It didn't feel, it was
did
weird.
Did you set up all the shots and everything?
Like I
you
just
didn't
used
have...
my iPhone, my, okay. my phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would set it
but
up.
But you didn't have like wifey film you
no,
for you or
no,
anything like that. It was all
no,
you
I'm
set it up.
Drew doesn't,
okay. yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I set it up. I would walk. I put it on the
yeah.
You know, I Jimmy rigged
right,
it up
on the
tree,
yeah.
right? And I walked past it on the street. Uh-huh. And then I walked back and I turned it off and then I cut that out. and I wanted to see how it felt.
Uh-huh.
And I gotta say, uh-huh. it does make you feel like a main character.
I'm sure
it's incredibly awkward.
Very
Dude,
much.
The people at the store.
Oh my goodness. That was the worst.
Yeah.
So, like, right, yeah, of course that was the worst.
Clearly
the
worst.
When you're in it was clearly the worst. So I'm picking, like, fruit. I'm, like, fake picking fruit. Right. Right?
And you're picking it up. I really like
someone
looking
walked,
at it.
Someone
no
walked
reason.
in the shot.
Uh-huh.
So I had to re-pick the fruit again.
But
I can't
it's
believe
not
he does
real,
this.
Then.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Is this how he does it? He sets
I'm,
up the
I'm
shots?
I'm assuming. I, fe- yeah. I
okay,
said, you know what? Before
like,
I make fun of this guy, I want to do it
yeah,
on my own.
It's not like
make
POV sure. or face cam or something?
No.
You need
no.
to get the shot where you have the camera behind like a box of cereal or something, and then you pull
yeah.
out the box of cereal, so it's like a POV yeah.
and I would have
of
to.
The cereal.
And then I'm in line, and shot. I'm putting yeah. it up against the magazines, trying to hold the phone up, and that was the worst one.
And they're like, sir, what are you
it
doing?
It was a long
sir,
line,
please don't film
and
me.
I, that was the worst one. I had to cut it, because this is too embarrassing.
Sir,
I can't
pick out
do
the
it.
Fruit, please.
Sir,
yeah,
sir, are you going to pick a are you gonna pick a veggie
sir,
or
you,
not?
Sir, you've picked up three different avocados.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to at least take
and
there,
but
them.
Here's the kicker. So Drake.
Here comes the kicker.
Yeah,
Nate,
yeah,
here comes
no,
the funny
no.
part.
Getting back to the originator, not the originator, but the guy who really does this, he always plays Drake music. Go on Drake's Instagram.
Okay.
Drake tagged Drew Walls and said, Drew Walls got me on my hype. And
wow.
Drake did a video.
Yeah.
He changed his life.
Well, you can't steal his bit, though, Alan.
No, I'm not. I didn't post it. I just
oh,
wanted to see how
you
it
just
looked.
Wanted to
you
feel.
Just wanted to feel how
you
I
did say that.
Feel.
You did just want to feel
yeah.
it's like.
And it felt cool, but
I'm
also
sure.
awkward.
It doesn't sound like it feels cool.
It felt cool until I got in line at Bel Air.
Yeah.
And then yeah. I thought, this is really awkward.
I'm sure it's cool if you're A, getting paid for it, and B, if you're like popping on TikTok. Then you're like,
yeah.
I don't care. Go ahead and laugh at me.
Right,
I'm making.
You know, people will say, hey, what outfit were you wearing, Drew? But people were memeing it saying, babe, wake up. New Drew Walls just dropped.
I don't get it, man. I mean,
I don't get
I don't
it either.
Understand. I understand. Like, shout out him for, because like the weird part is, I guarantee for like, 5 months, he was probably posting those videos and
yeah.
just nobody was watching.
It's a rough go.
That's like a grind.
Yeah.
Because you have to really, then you have to be the one who's believing, no, this is fire.
But,
people
right.
just don't get
but,
it yet.
But what are you even thinking is going to pop? Like, people gonna really want to watch
Dude,
me
yeah.
grocery shop.
Yeah.
Apparently.
That's what you're banking.
Long story short, people, at the end of the day, if you think you make good content, keep making
keep
it.
Keep at it.
Maybe Drake and ESPN will pick you up, even if it's just going to Tarjay. All right, getting back on track here. The Kings take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight with
cool.
no Trae Young and no DeAndre Hunter. The Kings got to get back on track, four games lead. And I think it's been a kind of a nice break for the
yes,
Kings
for
and
us
probably
too.
Kings fans as yeah. well. You get back on the horse. And
there's
can,
another break coming too.
Can they slay?
Thursday.
Yeah. Can they slay the shorthanded dragon that they really haven't been able to? And I shouldn't say that because they did beat the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. They beat the Suns when the Suns. What a weird conversation beating teams when they're not at full
yeah.
strength. But this is the 2023-2024 Kings. They got to get back on track here, man.
Yes, they have to. I mean, especially because this is the last game before a long road trip again. You gotta leave this homestand feeling like you got something out of it. You can't just continue to spiral. Same thing that we said about Indiana on what day was that? Thursday? Mm-hmm. Still applies today. You're still at home. You're still coming on a long, long losing trip. And the other team that you're playing doesn't have their star. Everything is working in your favor to go out there and just take the game. Like,
yeah.
This doesn't have to be a game that is even remotely close halfway through the fourth quarter. This should be a game where, you know, the Atlanta Hawks have a losing record. They haven't been able to figure things out all year long. They got guys, they have maybe the most players in trade talks of any other team in the NBA, so they can't be together and focused as a group. Their minds are probably all over the place. I'm sure some of the guys playing tonight might think, oh, let me see what's around this city of Sacramento, because
right.
I might be here in 2 weeks. So I feel like the Kings have to go out and just take this one, man. Like, this should be a complete blowout. Shouldn't even be really an entertaining game. It should be Kings wire to wire, because how many more terrible losses, how many sad, you know, how many times do you have to leave Golden 1 Center upset before – you just take care of business. And that's absolutely what they should do today. It shouldn't even be close.
Beam deprived. We are all beam deprived.
Oh, wait, they do that. I forgot that the whole laser thing happens in a while.
And here you go. Here's Shams talking about the DeJounte Murray situation. And he says, it's centered around D'Angelo Russell. This is with the Lakers. It's centered around D'Angelo Russell, a 2029 first-round draft pick, and a pick swap. The holdup was that Atlanta wanted to find a third team for D'Angelo Russell. So whatever Atlanta wanted back from the Lakers or from another team, it was not D'Angelo Russell. Which, I mean, can you imagine Trae Young and D'Angelo Russell? That's awful basketball.
I don't think it could get worse.
They would have the worst defensive rating in the history of basketball.
Throw Buddy Hield in there, dude.
Throw Buddy Hield in there. Maybe that's the third team or whatever the case is. So, yeah, to Chris's point, who DeJounte Murray is playing, and he's been balling. Yep. Trae Young has been a little bit, I know he's a smaller guy, he's been a little bit banged up this season, hasn't been able to stay on the court too much, but DeJounte Murray has been balling. Every game is basically a showcase for him or a tryout for a potential trade partner. And he's been doing his part.
Yeah.
Atlanta, and we'll talk about the market here and who I blame on this new market. But Atlanta is right now trying to maybe get too much. But it's just another name. DeJounte Murray is turning into the new Pascal Siakam. The reason it's not the same as Pascal, because I do think he will get moved by the time this whole thing is over, where the Kings kind of fall on that. And meanwhile, these guys got to play games. So hopefully the Kings can take advantage. All right, get into a break. When we get back, how do the Kings get back on track? And later at 12:30, we will rate the rumor, talking about different trades and trade conversations, rating the rumors at 12:30, but how the Kings get back on track. That's coming up next on Sazen and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
The first time.
Ace on the track.
The Kings have lost four in a row since the first four games of last season.
Eek.
Now that means now they're going to go on a run, right?
Sure, we'll say that.
Was it a seven-game run after that, 0-4?
No, I don't think so. They did. They definitely picked it up after they lost the first four last year. I don't think it was seven straight immediately after. I could be wrong, though. Let me check it out here.
Going up against a team that is shorthanded, no Trae Young, no DeAndre Hunter, and just trade rumors swirling all around the Atlanta Hawks. They got to go out there and still try to win games. And they're in this position because they just didn't get off on the right foot. I mean, I think this team had thoughts of being in the conversation of that four to six seed area, and they were not able to kind of get on that track. So here they are restarting again. I don't really know what the Hawks' plan is to build around Trae Young when you've already kind of did build around Trae Young, and now you're going to try to rebuild around Trae Young. You got decent pieces, but it hasn't been working as they come to town to Sacramento and the Kings trying to get back on the right track. But yeah, Chris, great call as far as the days that the Kings have off. I mean, they had, 3 days off after this? They played on Thursday, 3 days off, and then after this game, they start their road trip. But that doesn't start until Thursday.
In Golden State.
So you don't got to go. You're not going to Dallas, which is you go to Dallas after that. Then after that, you don't even have a back-to-back. You still don't even have a back-to-back until Pacers-Bulls down the road, February 2nd and 3rd. So this is a good area to get right.
Right in the middle of the season, too. Again, you can really draw the line in the sand. Say this is who we were the first 41 games. Mm-hmm. Were any of us really pleased? I think there's elements of it, but I would say for the most part, no. Here's a brand new 41 where we have pretty much a really interesting yeah, time off here where you can almost run a secondary mini camp almost. So it'll be interesting to see just how different things look. I mean, you can really take a good look at all the numbers and say, you know, I was looking at things like touches. The big difference from this and last year, Harrison Barnes was like third in total touches last year at this point for the Kings last year. He's like fifth this year. Is that where you want him to be? Do you feel like Kevin Huerter's a guy who's taken less touches this year? Now that he's shooting better, are you going to try and get him more incorporated into the offense? Defensively, do they feel good about where they're at? Obviously, during training camp, the first one at the beginning of the year, they focused a lot on the defensive end and about communication and just about being more together on the defensive end. I don't know. Maybe all that kind of goes aside and we start to see this team lean more into offense. Mm-hmm. I really don't know, but it's a good opportunity for whatever it is they're going to do. This is a really good chance for them to kind of turn things in a different direction.
The total touches is interesting. So both of them are down. So who's up? Keegan?
Let me pull that up for you because I was just randomly yesterday looking at a bunch of numbers. So for reference, 41 games through the last year, Domantas Sabonis led the Kings in touches with about 3,200. De'Aaron was just under 3,000. Harrison Barnes was just over 2,000. Nobody else had more than that. This season, Domantas Sabonis has significantly more touches. He has 3,700. De'Aaron has 2,840. Malik Monk has 2,136. And then Keegan Murray's the next closest at 1,635. And so it's really just this year, it seems to be Malik has entered the top three of touches because, as I said, Harrison Barnes had just over 2,000 touches at this point last year. So Malik has entered that third ball handler, third option for this team. And really, it's been a lot more of top three than last year. It was, Barnes was at 20 or 2,000. Huerter was at 1,700. Malik was at 1,600. Even Davion is just under 1,500. And then you have Keegan just above 1,300. Last year was just a lot more spread out. This year it's felt like they're leaning a lot more on those three guys specifically, and then when they can get some from Keegan.
And just to confirm for the audience that might be curious, a touch qualifies as what?
I believe it's just touching the ball. Yeah, it's getting the ball, passing it, and then if you get it back, that's two touches.
Yeah. That's crazy then as far as the Harrison Barnes thing. I mean, it makes sense, and part of that is – you know, if you were to ask, I can already hear Coach Mike Brown, when you ask him the question, hey, that's just how the game is going. Right. It's not that we want him to touch the ball less. It's just Malik has been – he's also been in there. I would assume Harrison Barnes' minutes are down from this season to last season. So that all makes sense as far as the Kings getting back on track. By the way, we're getting reports that Sasha Vezenkov is questionable due to a left ankle sprain. So we will – keep an eye on that. Might not get that official answer until closer to game time with the Drive guys. But yes, Sasha Vezenkov questionable due to a left ankle sprain. Jason Ross was in here as we finished off the morning show. And just the Sasha question or Sasha conversation came up again as far as what you expected and what you got as the Kings look to get back on track. I mean, Sasha has played all right in spots. Right?
Yeah.
When you look at this four-game skid, like we said, these four games have been all different in the way that you've kind of blown it. But I think the main thing here, if it's not effort, it's this. If it's not free throws, it's that. The main thing is with this break off, that defense has to be where it was towards the beginning of this season. It's gotta pick up. You cannot get to, because that's what we last saw with the Pacers. You can't get into you score, I score.
Yeah.
You don't have the capabilities for that, big man. At least not this season.
I think the question is, can they play that level of defense? Is overall the question. I mean, they struggled to do it consistently for 41 games even. The second half of the season where your legs are even more tired and all that stuff. And then you got to ramp it up in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, they've been better defensively. What, they've been as high as like 14. Mm-hmm. I think they've usually stayed around 17.
Right.
it's okay, but I think, yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. Can the defense at any point in this second half pick up? Can they ramp it up as we get closer and closer to April? And then once we do get into the playoffs, we saw the Kings take that other level. Is there another level for them to go to? Because it's felt a lot like, I mean, clearly the playoff intensity is just different, but they've been a lot closer or have definitely put more defensive effort this season than last. Is the increase in come playoff time going to be as dramatic as it was last year? Because if it's not going to be, if it is just going to be them getting to a similar level that they were last year, I don't think it's good enough. I think they have to be a better defensive team if they want to have success, and I don't see it. And that's where, I mean, really, to me, they need a trade. I mean, if they want to realistically change the outlook of this season and I mean, really convince people of it, I think they have to make a move.
Yeah, and, you know, if they don't, right, because we've been kind of trying to operate in the sense of, all right, what can they do with what they have in here? I mean, I'm looking at Kevin Huerter. You got to stay hot, Kevin.
Yep.
You literally have to, right?
You already had your bad times.
Yeah.
We need all good times.
And if you're not going to be hot, I mean, you need to get Kevin to about 12, 13 points a game.
Yeah. Yep.
That would feel nice.
Contributing.
Okay. You can't have any more under 10s in the starting lineup. You just can't, because
they got to figure out Harrison Barnes too. Whether that's trading him, whether that's moving him to the bench, figure out how to get something out of that dude, because you can't continue to get absolutely nothing, to your point.
Yeah. All right. When we get back, we will rate the rumor. Jose, we see you on the line. Hang with us. We will get to you after the break, and we will rate the rumor with the NBA trade rumors and what's going on there. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On the bright side, we woke up this morning. That is Josh Allen keeping things in perspective as far as losing to the Chiefs in the playoffs. He's not wrong.
Yeah. Gotta do whatever you can. It's gotta be tough to feel like you just can't get over it. Like, it's one thing if it's, you know, like the Niners, you know, it's a different opponent. It's a different obstacle every year that they can't get over. It's got to be like so frustrating to just be like, Patrick Mahomes is the living, breathing embodiment of this hump I cannot get over.
Yeah.
It's got to be just like, I would hate him. I would hate that man for everything he is.
But you know what? As far as Josh Allen is concerned, you know, and a lot of people are a little bit low on Josh Allen right now, and I get it. He still was able to get that 2 seed. And the bottom line is, he's faced, let's be honest here, he's faced Patrick Mahomes the most because he's been there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, to be completely honest with you, and I know he doesn't have any hardware, and Lamar's probably about to get his second MVP.
Sure.
But Lamar hasn't got a chance to lose to Mahomes because he's lost before Mahomes or he hasn't been available in the playoffs.
Right.
So we're about to see if Lamar is going to get added. You know, that meme where it's like the Undertaker and he's going past every door and every door is different. It's Mahomes. It feels like a Josh Allen thing, but is it really a Josh Allen thing?
I don't think so. No.
Burrow has beaten Mahomes before.
He's owned him. Burrowhead, bro.
Burrowhead. Oh, my goodness.
Dude,
I forgot about
that.
Come on,
dude. Burrowhead, bro.
So now we'll see where Lamar falls on this, because I know it was a big deal. I think Lamar finally got him in a regular season game. But I believe this is the first time in the playoffs, because Lamar hasn't really held up his end of the bargain.
That's a good point.
So we'll see. It might not just be you, Josh.
People criticize LeBron James for losing in the finals, and it's kind of a similar thing where it's like, I mean, would you rather him just not be there?
You know, and Lamar, we'll see what happens with Lamar, but Lamar could be no different. He just hasn't gotten a chance, or he hasn't been in that position, and Josh Allen has. Let's get to Jose, who wants to be a part of the conversation, talking Kings, I believe. What's up, Jose?
What's up, guys? So, okay, after all these games and watching the Kings, do you feel maybe, just curious about your opinion, do you feel that maybe they're so focused on the defense that it's taken away from their focus on offense?
Definitely. I don't know if I would say the focus, but I would say just in general, I mean, when you think about stamina and I mean, just trying to maintain your energy level throughout the game, I would definitely say it's tough in general to play really high-level defense when you're running as much as the Kings do on offense.
Yeah. No, thanks for the... No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and a quick point about the Niners stuff. We're going to have a great game on Sunday as long as Shanahan don't go crazy on the play calling. Don't be conservative. Just smash mouth football. We're known for running the ball, and I hope he just sticks to that game plan. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Jose. Yeah, I would definitely agree on that front. Now, Lions here. That's what's so funny about this. Lions defense is much, much better than the Packers. Lions running defense, much, much better than the Packers running defense. So it could actually, they could actually stop the run, and then they'd have to throw the football. So. Right. You know, we got plenty more to get into this week as far as the Niners and the Lions. Getting back to the Kings, I think this could be a lot of different things. It's obviously there's been a focus on the defense. Keegan Murray having to guard a lot of times the team's best player, the other team's best player, if it's not a guard, if it's a wing, or if it's unless it's a smaller guard, really, even if it's a bigger guard, I think Keegan's been on him. And we thought about, okay, is this affecting Keegan, right? So there's that.
It's not impossible, though. I mean, the best teams in the league do it.
The
it's
best, not, if you're one you know, of the, yeah, the, like, the Celtics don't seem. But then again, that's personnel, though.
No, absolutely. Right? But I can't just blame, oh, it's impossible to play good offense when you're playing good defense. I'm looking at the best offensive ratings in the NBA this season. Number one is Indiana. They play terrible defense. The Bucks are number two. They play less than spectacular defense. Mm-hmm. But number three, and pretty much having the same rating, 0.6 points or 0.6 less than Milwaukee, is the Celtics, who are the number two defensive team in the NBA by defensive rating. So it's not impossible. It's just, yeah, I mean, you have to have the personnel, and absolutely you have to. I mean, it's a good sign of a championship team, and that's where, you know, you do wonder, is this team even championship caliber? Because it's like, you know, if you're trying to play both ends of the floor and the best you can do on both ends is somewhere near middle of the pack, that seems like a problem with the personnel.
If we remove the hyper success that we saw from the Kings last season, and a lot of things, and I thought it was a great note, Whitey said last week that the Kings, very similar to these passing records, or should I say, and even these salaries, right, and these contracts that these quarterbacks get, every year somebody is breaking a record, right?
Right.
And the Kings had the highest offensive rating in the history of the NBA. And four teams have a higher offense. Seven teams have a higher offensive rating this season. So that puts things in perspective. And that was the Kings as a three seed, right? We know with, what, 48 wins, that's a little bit low to be a three seed. Now coming into this season, you have a lot of teams figuring it out. The T-Wolves a year under their belt. And what I'm thinking, Chris, is we talk so much and we've said that maybe this is the caterpillar year, for the cocoon year, if you will, for Keegan Murray. If you think that maybe last season was the cocoon season for the T-Wolves as they kind of figured it out, is it crazy to think that maybe if we just admit that this could be the cocoon season for the Kings as a whole?
No.
No?
No, because last year, I mean, the reason why you could say it's a cocoon season for Minnesota is because they made this big move and they're figuring things out and the talent's still there, but you know, the next season, it just clicks better and everything works better together. If anything, you could say last season was the season where it's almost a reverse caterpillar butterfly situation where the Kings butterflied. I don't know. It doesn't feel like this season is, unless they make a move, which is what you could say about the Sabonis trade in the first place, was that trade wasn't made to make the Kings better for that half season. You saw the Kings get much better the season when they had Sabonis for the full year, had him in the full off season. It doesn't feel like, unless they make a move at this deadline, that they're building towards anything. If anything, this is a season where you stayed in the cocoon a year longer than you needed.
Yeah, that's probably fair enough.
It's tough. I mean, it's and there's not any. I shouldn't say there's not.
I'm just
any
trying
way
to pretty up.
Have seen it,
I'm just pretty I'm trying to pretty up the idea that they are regressing, or that they could be regressing.
Yeah, I would just say the offensive rating is not nearly where they were last year, and I don't know. I mean, the question is too: are they regressing? I mean, last year they have pointed out several times they have the same record through 41 games this year as they did last year. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you? You can read a lot of things from what that tells
but,
you.
And this goes,
you can read a lot of things from that, but what does that tell you?
But this goes back to our conversation during the Kings roundtable with Brendan and Frankie. Okay, cool. They go to the playoffs again.
Yeah.
And first of all, it's a different season, right? That's why they're the eighth seed right now.
Right.
So let's say they get into the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Is
that regression or is that
it's a push?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's staying the course, if anything. And I don't think that's what they should do. Absolutely not. I mean, my prediction before the season was I didn't think they would be a three seed. I wasn't even sure they were going to get to 48 wins, but I thought they would be closer to being a legitimate playoff contender than they were last year. And as it stands right now, I don't think that's true. I think that they're worse than they were last year, if not the same. And I don't think it's for a better cause. Like, I don't think it's leading towards something. I just think this is them. The wheels are stuck in the mud right now, in my opinion, and they're just not going anywhere. And I don't think this is going to lead to some, you know, back end push or anything. I think we've seen this team now for a season and a half, this main collection or core of guys. And I think they just kind of are who they are. Through 41 games last year, they were 23-18, and same thing this year.
Yeah.
You bring back the same guys and you expect a different result. I mean, you're just getting exactly what you asked for, pretty much. You don't make any significant changes really to the rotation, and you run out the same guys. And honestly, you should be thankful that you have the record you do. We've read records. The Basketball Reference expected win-loss for this team has been hovering around 500 for a couple weeks now. I mean, you could argue that their record honestly does them a lot of favors.
Yeah.
And realistically, they should be a lot closer to the 9 seed right now.
Right. And and when you have a couple guys that had either career years or breakout seasons,
right,
and you are hoping that they replicate that or improve on it, I mean, Kevin Huerter, I mean, he balled out last season. The idea that he was going to do that again, possible.
Sure.
But the idea that he was going to get better, even better than that, now there would actually be Klay Thompson comparisons.
Yes.
Prime Klay Thompson comparisons.
Right.
If you keep improving like that, and that hasn't seemed to be the case so far, and then you have a Keegan Murray who, hey, we decided you need to be elite two-way. Okay, well, there are going to be some growing pains
absolutely
there as well. Somebody asked 530, are the Kings overvaluing Barnes, Huerter, and Mitchell on what they can return in a star? Outstanding question. We'll answer it when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Are the Kings overvaluing Barnes, Huerter, and Mitchell on what they can return in a star? Should they consider trading for a lesser player and picks in return for them instead? That is from the 530. I find it hard to believe that the Kings are overvaluing. I mean, these guys have been on the trade market officially for a couple weeks now, but unofficially for a while.
Yeah.
So I think they know, but it's a good question. The 530, what is the holdup? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for something what are you waiting to have change?
I guess. I think it takes two to tango. I think that's more what it is. Is that's like just not the most okay, signed, sealed, let's absolutely make that deal. It's not the most intriguing package. I wouldn't say the Kings are overvaluing it. I just think that's what the Kings have to offer, and they're not going to throw in multiple first-round picks unless it makes a ton of sense for them. And, you know, I think there's a lot of time. I mean, I shouldn't say there's no rush, because there's definitely some semblance of a rush because this team keeps dropping games. But, you know, if Monty McNair feels like he knows the value of his guys, and I think if anything, Kings fans undervalue those guys because we do watch them so much and have such strong opinions on them. I think that those guys have value across the league, and I think really what it is it's just nobody's jumping at that package. It's just not an elite package, and what you'll see is as the deadline approaches and people really get a better grasp of, okay, this is realistically what's on the table, you're going to find out that, you know, you could do a lot worse than that package. And I just think that eventually it'll be good enough, either that total package of Barnes, Herter, and Mitchell or individual pieces of it. I think the Kings will find deals for at least one or two of them.
Yeah, right. And I don't think that the Kings feel like, hey, we're going to get – who are the stars left, right? Yeah. I mean, we heard that the situation – with Pascal, on top of Pascal not necessarily wanting to stay
right
in Sacramento, we heard that Keegan Murray was involved. So obviously they were out on that. So I think the Kings know the price tag.
Right.
It's just a matter of what
and that deal was agreed to by all intents and purposes. It was just the Siakam saying no was the holdup. So
yeah.
Clearly, the package was enough to get it done. It had nothing to do with those guys' value or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think that they are overvaluing them. I just think that they want to make sure it's the right move.
Yeah.
And I think everybody understands what you can get. I think it's just a matter of picks, or is it Davion, or and also need, right? We saw last week maybe the Rockets have a need for Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is another unique situation, right? Where it's like, who needs a Harrison Barnes? Unlike Kevin Herter, who's gotten hot these last couple games, Harrison Barnes hasn't necessarily been doing you any favors.
Correct.
As far as, oh yeah, we could use a guy who's going to play 30 minutes and put up 2-1-1.
Yeah.
Who needs that?
Nobody. Not at $17 million per year either. That's for sure. It's tough. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, like you said, I mean, HB's doing them no favors with how he is, but I would still say that each one of those guys has value. I mean, HB is again, a dude that I think a lot of people probably view him more so as a bench guy, as a sixth or seventh guy, but he's somebody who's a good locker room presence. If you're on a team like, you know, Miami or Milwaukee or a team like that, you could definitely see how your situation would be a good one for HB. Mm-hmm. Kevin Herter doesn't take a lot of convincing to say, we can use a dude who can shoot. I mean, whether or not $15 million is worth it
or not.
You still
want to move Herter?
No, I don't want to, but I think if he's a guy that can get you a bigger name, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think the Kings should keep Kevin Herter. Mm-hmm. I would look to move HB and Davion first, but if Kevin Herter gets the deal done, I'm not going to not throw him in.
Yeah, exactly, and it depends on who that deal is for. Yeah. As Chris's favorite contract in the league, Jeremy Grant, still connected with Sacramento. This is from the 5-3-0. Same guys, another year of experience together, and Keegan a year older. That should be better.
Sure.
Is it that simple?
I mean, next year, maybe, but I don't think the Kings can roll into next year and run it back again. Like, there's no way you can run you know, Kevin, Keegan, HB, Malik, Fox, Sabonis, that can't be your main six guys that you're throwing out there next year, in my opinion, especially if you lose in the first round. I think this season was the season to bank on internal growth. They did. It doesn't seem like it's working out. I don't think you can make that same plan again. I think you have to bring in some sort of different talent or shake things up a little bit if things don't work out this year.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a tough sell.
But they could still be. Here's the thing, right? They have the same record.
Yeah.
You have the second half of the season coming up.
Yeah.
They could be better than last season.
Sure.
It remains to be seen. They might not get an opportunity. But if they got 2% better, here's a problem. And here's why it's leading closer towards Tradeville. How much better is the question?
Yeah.
Because if the Kings got 2% better, but the Oklahoma City Thunder got about 30% better, sure, maybe 40% better, the Timberwolves got 30% better, the Nuggets maybe got 5% better and or worse, but they're still rolling. Who else is there? Then you have the Pelicans, who maybe got 10% better. You have the Suns, the Clippers, who are probably 25% better.
I mean, you just can't be done building either.
Right.
There's no way. Like, as a GM, you can't just say, no, we're good. Like, this is going to be our championship core.
Yeah, because I'm just saying, if you're saying, I think it's too simple to say they should be better, because they could be better, but that could still not be enough.
Yeah.
It's more than that because of what the West is right now. Yeah. They could be end up being better than last year's team.
Yeah.
Right. They could be better than last year's team, but if they're only 3% better and the rest of the field improved even more than that, you have a problem.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they also just are a flawed roster in general. Forget the other teams, you just could use other personnel as well. Like, the Kings still need guys who have legitimate size and length and can defend, and they still need another playmaker as well. Like, there's still elements of this team, even if you feel like talent-wise you're on the right tier, there's still some, bits and pieces that you just need to add to the roster that, even with internal growth, I don't think that there's somebody else who can be a primary ball handler on this roster. So I can't see them, even if it is a couple guys staying back, I can't see them running this thing back again.
No, I don't think they're going to run it back again. I mean, I think, assuming they don't win the whole thing,
which
something would happen in the summer.
Big assumption.
Look, if Monty McNair, if they don't do anything at this break, and let's say this thing doesn't get right, and let's say season ends tomorrow and they're in the play-in and they don't get out of the play-in, I mean, there'll be so much pressure. That's the thing. Okay, we know the only way there's a conversation about running it back again, and I still don't think it would get passed, but it would be if they did lose in the first round again. Right.
No, I mean, if they run it back, there's no way if they lose in the first round, there's no way they run it back.
That's the only argument. Obviously, if they made it past the first round, then that's the conversation. But that's the line. If they just do the same thing, it's like, okay, Monty, what do you think they're going to take another leap here? Or you could convince I'm sure you could convince yourself.
I don't think you can justify it. I just don't. I mean, I think we've seen so many bad things this year that just are screaming for help. I just can't see how. I can barely see. I really don't think that there's no. I think the Kings are too involved in every trade rumor out there to do absolutely nothing at this deadline. I would be shocked, honestly. But if for some reason they don't, I would be especially shocked if they don't do anything in the offseason, regardless of result, because this team, they say they have championship aspirations, and there's a 0% chance that this team, as it's currently constructed, can win a championship. It's just not happening.
No.
There's a lot of things would have to go right
in a quick amount of time.
Yeah.
And then you start your building blocks, right? And you have De'Aaron, and you have Sabonis, and you have Keegan. Those are your three. And no, I don't think I can name Malik right now, because we don't know what's going to happen to Malik in the offseason. We just don't know.
Yeah.
We just don't know. So, and you could also start thinking in a way of, hey, and I'm just looking at their sports. By the way, RIP Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated is done now. And you could also sit there and say, well, on top of that, we have our building blocks. But how good are the building blocks, right?
Absolutely.
You also would have to have that question. So I don't know what is going to happen to the Kings. All I know is they better get back on the right track today.
Yes.
And I'm done. I thought after that embarrassment back east, I thought that somebody would not be in a Kings uniform anymore, or there would be a new player before the Pacers game. That didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
So I can sit here and say, if they lose tonight, but truly, I don't know anymore. I just don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take, because I feel like for weeks now, it's been obvious that this team just is not it. I mean, I was shocked after that Pelicans game that there wasn't moves made, and it's I don't know what's – I don't think there's going to be some moment. I think that again, you see Monty McNair and the Kings in every single trade rumor that there is. I think they're talking. I think they're ready to make a deal. I do think that it's just other teams, A, not liking, not being absolutely in love with the Kings package, and B, why accept a trade now? Why not wait? If you're a seller, why not wait until the deadline so that you get all the possible, you know, last minute, oh my gosh, we didn't think we would need to make a move, or who knows? I mean, there's still 2 weeks until the deadline. Someone could get hurt and you feel like, oh, this team wasn't in the trade talks and now they have to make a move. And so I think it's really at the period right now where every team is just like, I'm going to sit here and wait until I know that I've received all the best offers before I accept anything.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, are we overreacting? Somebody on the Sac Chat thinks we are. We'll talk about it. Styles and Watkins, Sac Town Sports.